Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host Bobby Skinner here with my co-host Justin Penick. And we got ourselves a mailbag pod. And we got to talk about Andrew Thomas. We're going to get to all of it. Justin, how are you feeling on a Wednesday? After, I mean, the season, this is a new low. This is a new low right now, because there's zero hope going forward. Because if Andrew Thomas is playing, we're like, you know what, season's over, but I bet you will, you know, Daniel Jones is going to look good. With Andrew Thomas out, I'm worried that he's not going to look good.
Hey, Bobby Skinner. Two home games, 2 weeks in a row. Excited for that. Really pumped to head back to MetLife Stadium. No, I mean, I'm excited to go back to MetLife again this week, and I'd rather watch losing football where I'm there and I'm in person and I get a chance to put everything in my life to the side, whereas watching it from home. So that is the difference between this year and last year, is that, you know, at least I'm there to see the misery in person. Yeah, so we'll kick it off with Andrew Thomas. It stinks. You know, the theme of 2020, I've said it a lot this year, the theme of 2020 is you started to root for players again on this team, where it wasn't just rooting for hope, it wasn't just, you know, rooting for maybe something that wasn't there, it wasn't substantial, but you started to root for players again. And Andrew Thomas was one of those guys that, you know, while most of the season was a struggle for him, he ended it off on a high note, and we had hope for him coming into this year. And then right away, boom, he proved it. Like, right away, those, you know, first 3-4 games of the season, like, boom, he proved it, why we should have that hope and why he is a player that we should get behind. And, you know, it takes the wind out of the sails of the team, if they had any wind under their sails to begin with, of the team, and then takes the wind out of the sails of us as fans, because at least we had some of those players like Tony, like Jones, like Thomas. And now, you know, really, we don't really have any of those guys, and even without those guys, Jones isn't much, so.
Yeah, and Andrew Thomas going to IR hurts, because, you know, if all the receivers are out, I'm like, we can still, Jones can still look good. You know, it's just Thomas was always the most correlated. You know, Daniel Jones is a different QB when his blind side is taken care of, and we have seen that. You know, and just for Thomas himself, it's not everything resolves around Daniel Jones. You know, he's got two foot injuries right now, you know, a foot injury on one foot and then an ankle on the other, you know. Now, the silver lining, though, is, though, that the next 3 weeks after that, you have a bye week and then Monday Night Football. So you have 5 weeks in a day to get healthy. So if there's any time for him to go on IR, this would be the perfect time, because you get 5 weeks to heal for three games. But yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones, his success this season, I thought, was most correlated to Andrew Thomas more than any player or coach, which I was going to save this for one of the mailbag questions. But we're starting to see, people got to stop expecting everything to be perfect for Daniel Jones to be good. It's like, we never did. Left guard through right tackle are not good players on the Giants right now. Matt Skura is not a good offensive lineman. Billy Price, not a good offensive lineman. Will Hernandez is average. Nate Solder, Matt Parrott, bad. You know, tight end room, ineffective. Well, you know, maybe Evan Ingram goes and is good somewhere else, but he's ineffective. The wide receiver group was good, but injured. The offensive coordinator was bad. And anytime the offensive coordinator had a good game, Daniel Jones had a really good... Like, Daniel Jones was good this year, essentially with a left tackle and a decent wide receiver core that was banged up basically the entire year. Missing Tony, essentially, the first two games. Galladay gets hurt. Then Shep and Slayton get hurt. So stop changing the argument with Daniel Jones, because he did play bad this past week. And there's a question about Garrett. Because I'm going to be critical of Garrett and Jones. Like, this pass game was bad of Daniel Jones, and it wasn't just because of the offensive line. He made bad decisions. But, like, I'm I'm starting to see that stuff again, and it's like, look at what we saw. Look what we saw when all he had, the only really consistent thing he had was the left tackle, and he had good wide receiver talent. Not great wide receiver talent, good wide receiver talent, and a horrible offensive coordinator, and every outside source, not just Giants fans trying to protect DJ, saying, like, this guy is the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a week-by-week league, right, where... You know, one game is going to decide the talking points and the narrative on a player until the next Sunday, until they can go out and do something different, or they can continue with the status quo. And when unfortunately Daniel Jones has a lot more games on his resume that look like this past Sunday, whether it's his fault or not his fault, than the first three games that was this season. So and I agree with you, but that's the only unfortunate part about Daniel Jones, is that people's brain... they revert back to when they see, oh, Jones fumbled a few times. Oh, Jones threw a couple interceptions. People's brain refer back to, oh, well, you know, it's his fault. And you look at the box score and stuff like that. But I agree with you. And I think
draft
the main
talking points
really and the draft talking points too. But the main thing that we said this past Sunday, and I wholeheartedly agree with it, is do not let those types of games stack upon each other. Where now the odds are stacked against Daniel Jones, but this is where, like, and you know, maybe we'll save it for some Jones talking points, but you know, the odds are stacked against Daniel Jones, but you cannot have games like you had this past Sunday. Like there is no excuse for that on a consistent basis. So let's see it, DJ. Like, you know, continue to be a dude. You know, you were a dude the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Let's continue the season, even though those odds are stacked against you.
If he can play above average with Andrew Thomas out, like, that should honestly sell you more than the first, you know, the first 4.5 games.
Yeah.
You know, like, if he could, like, because we'll talk about it with Garrett and everything, but like you said, like, everything is stacked against him right now. Justin, before we get into the mailbag, this episode was brought to you by some lovely people. Antonio Sforza. Antonio. We got Josh from Australia, Mike, and he said, Mike, in one of our messages.
Love it.
There was a time where my dad and one of his employees were just calling everyone Mike. They were just doing the Australian voice thing. And I remember business was good. You know, it was after a hurricane. You know, my dad owns a tree service. And so, like, he weren't really needing work. So he was answering the phone as, like, tree service, Mike, how can I help you? Like, just went all in on it.
I remember the story that you told. It was, yes.
I probably have told it. Bryden Lawson, my high school football coach, was Roderick Lawson. Look him up. Jack Feldman. I think this is our second Feldman. I wonder if he's related to Eric Feldman.
Eric, yes.
Sean Patel. And then the lovely Isabel Cortez Gonzalez. Who are these lovely people, Justin?
Wow, love people with three names. Wonderful people like Isabel went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. $2 a month. We're officially over 300. We have been for a little bit, I think, but we're officially over 300 now. We're at 400. Well,
no, we need to get to 400.
Oh, we need to get to 400. I thought you were really just exaggerating. Yeah, so patreon.com/talkinggiants. Come be miserable with us and hang out with us as we record the episodes live. So here's a little spin zone. It's tougher to listen to the Giants podcast, which is why I'm extra thankful for everybody that tunes in to YouTube videos, podcasts, supplemental content, everything that we put out. But I recognize that it is a lot more difficult to listen to the Giants podcast now than it was, you know, even at the start of the season when we were like 0-2, 0-1, let's just say. So, if you sign up for Patreon, you can just listen to us live, hang out with us live, chat with us, listen for a little bit, and then you're done. Just listen to us in the evening when we record, because that's when we record, and then you're done. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Plus Bobby sends you some magnets and stuff.
Bam. All right, take it away, Steve.
Mail time.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail. When it comes, I wanna wail.
Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, let's get into the mail.
All right, we're gonna kick off with two questions paired together. Bill at Bill_A_B. Giants end up winning 3-4 games this year, and the team is non-competitive down the stretch. Do you pull the plug on Judge and get back to an aligned GM and coach? What do you think Mara does? Second question is coming from Jake Salazzoni. Jake Salazzoni. I had to literally do the Italian sign with my hand.
It's the one culture we can still make, exaggerate.
I love it. It's the one culture we can exaggerate. Do you care to expand upon that more?
It's like we can make fun of Italians still.
I don't want to make fun of it. I want to just expand upon how wonderful.
But like, if now we're really getting into territory we probably shouldn't touch.
Yeah, well, no, you are. You just got there.
Basically, if you mimic other cultures, you're probably gonna get in trouble.
Well, I mean, I'm from New Jersey. Sean
McDonough got in trouble for making fun of something on a broadcast a couple weeks ago.
I'm from New Jersey. I'm automatically 25% Italian.
Like, you can say, forget about it, and people won't be like, wow, why are you making fun of Italian culture?
All right, listen, don't
forget about this conversation.
Don't forget about Jack's question. Jack Salazzoni, I know it's only week 7, but the Giants are 1-5 currently. How many games do you think the Giants need to win this season for Joe Judge to keep his job? I think Gettleman is gone regardless, but I think there's a scenario where the G-men have a losing record and Judge keeps his job. I want to start off really quickly, and then I'll let you go knee-deep. Jack, I don't think there's like a certain win mandate where, and I get this is maybe the same answer that the Giants will give you too. I don't think there's a certain win mandate in my brain for like, oh, if Judge gets to this win total, I think he's safe. I think it's a matter of, can he keep the locker room? And can they still compete game in and game out, right? Can they finish the season off strong? And I know that's such a stupid answer, but at the same time, I don't think it matters because I do think that you need to pair the GM and the head coach together. I've officially kind of gotten to that point of no longer talking myself into this line of thinking, that line of thinking. It comes down to results. You need to pair the GM and the head coach together and let this new GM, whoever he is, have whatever kind of say that he wants. And Bobby, I'll let you go now.
Okay, good. Because I was actually going to ask you that. Like, where are you at with Joe Judge?
Yeah.
Right now, this is
I used to have like this, maybe this happens, maybe that happens, but Judge hasn't really earned anything
exactly
to say like, oh, he deserves to be kept, and maybe he does, but I think it's less likely. There's more of a chance of things to go wrong and shit to hit the fan if you do keep Judge compared to then just wiping it all clean and just restarting. So
yeah, I mean, Judge is 7-15 as a head coach right now. That's not good. And that's where I agree. I think you need to keep him on. Like, Dave Gettleman will be fired, and I think you should move on from Judge as well. And it sucks because I do like Judge. There's things I like about Judge, but he hasn't done enough. You know, like, the defense is bad right now. The offense is bad, and you brought back Garrett. Decisions like continuing to play Nate Solder. Which Joe Judge is very involved in those things. Like, I think it sucks for Judge that he got put on the last notice for Gettleman as well. Like, it's like as soon as Judge came on, it's like, all right, you're on the hot seat too, because this GM's on the hot seat.
I think that's one of our... I'll have to go back and maybe listen to some of our first episodes. I think that was like one of my first episodes as part of Talking Giants. But I would be shocked if we didn't say that, because it was a really sucky situation that he was kind of put in to start. It really was, so...
Yeah, and I want to talk about Gettleman. There's some takes I have on Gettleman that I really haven't said. But yeah, I mean, it's what has Joe Judge done this year for you to be like, he's got to come back, And again, here's something. It's like, I want a fresh start, And when you get a fresh start, that means that people you like go,
Yep.
It's like the people that you love and you got to have stay. Like the Andrew Thomas, Kadarius Toney, they have to stay. But there's guys you like that will go, Like with Jabril Peppers right now. I like Jabril Peppers. I defend Jabril Peppers all the time because he gets unnecessary hate. But I don't love Jabril Peppers' game. He's not like a must-have player. So it's like we're starting over. We're going to be starting over, which means that people that you like have to go. It's why I'm okay with, we talked about Dexter Lawrence last week. I'm like, I like Dexter Lawrence. I don't love Dexter Lawrence. So if they decide to move on and get some draft picks from Dexter Lawrence, I'll be okay with it. Whether that's at the deadline or in the offseason, which it could be. So, yeah, I do like Judge. I really do like Judge. But, again, it just hasn't been enough done yet. And I don't want to I don't want to hamstring this GM. I want us, when we're going to answer a question about John Mayer, I want this new GM to be able to do whatever he wants and not be someone, and I guess we're diving right into it with Gettleman, not be someone who tells John Mayer what John Mayer wants to hear.
Yep.
Because we're going to talk about John Mayer, but like that's what Dave Gettleman has done that actually bothers me more than any personnel move about Gettleman, is that he, in his interest of his own job, has always played John Mayer, saying what John Mayer wants to say. And that includes going back to firing Pat Shurmur with, you know, 3-4 weeks left in the season, going to John Mayer and recommending to fire Pat Shurmur. Totally throwing Pat Shurmur under the bus. Where at the time, if you asked me, which one would you keep, Gettleman or Pat Shurmur, I would have said Pat Shurmur. Now, like this, I'm saying they should have been a package deal. You either kept them both for the third year and gave them that third year, or fired them both. I would have been happy with both, and they took the option to do the, you know, use your phrase, be half pregnant. So that's what bothers me the most about Gettleman, is like he does the things that makes John Mayer happy. And I think if John Mayer can get that nice kick in the ass from someone who comes in and doesn't, like, main job isn't pleasing John Mayer and it's doing the right things, that's where I think there could be some hope for this organization going forward.
Right.
Because John Mayer isn't... Actually, you know, we got a John Mayer... Let's skip to the John Mayer question, and then we'll talk about Jason Garrett. And so it's the after this next one.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you first, because do we have another judge question?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so I've been seeing a lot of people on social media talk about how, you know, Judge could start losing the locker room in terms of guys, like, not giving effort. I didn't watch the old 22 extensively, you know, fully.
I think that was overblown.
Like that. Yeah, I agree. I don't...
But Judge didn't, though. Judge said there was guys who didn't give effort, you know. But here's at the same time, guys cannot give effort in the fourth quarter of a 38-3 game and not lose a locker room. You know, like, there has been... And I'm not saying he won't lose it, because losing makes you lose the locker room more so than, you know, coach... More so than Joe Judge being, you know, tough.
More so than running laps and BS.
Yeah, it's
like
losing.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ben McAdoo wasn't tough on his players. He lost the locker room. Shurmur didn't lose it, but it was very clear, like, that was a rebuilding mode. And his offense, you know, had some really nice games. And you got Odell out of there, which I think kind of was a wake up call for a lot of players in the organization. Yeah. But yeah, there's been zero evidence that Judge has lost the locker room. He may, because losing does that. But at this point, there's zero evidence that he's lost the locker room.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people were saying that, and I'm like,
I think people are wanting it to be true.
I don't think we're there yet, but don't hold your breath. So trade Saquon at Saquon for a second. Tells you everything you need to know there. Do you think this team has any chance with John Mara as owner? I just don't see the light until Merritt and Tisch are gone.
I don't think John Merritt is James Dolan. You know? Like, I don't think John Merritt is, like, has this huge ego where, you know, where James Dolan's, like, literally, like, having himself play concerts at Madison Square Garden and you know, kicking people out and sending these weird emails and stuff. Like, John Merritt, I'm not saying he's a good owner, but he's not James Dolan, where it's like just broken beyond repair. I don't think. I do think someone, and I think we both had similar tweets about. I brought up Nick Saban when he went to interview for Alabama. He kind of crapped all over the organ, like, you know, the facilities and everything. And some people in there didn't like hearing that, but others were like, "Hey, no, this is what we need right now. Like, we need this kick in the ass, because Alabama wasn't good before Nick Saban came in. They used to be good. They had a great history similar to the Giants, but they weren't good before Nick Saban came in, and now they're a powerhouse. So I do think John Mara is embarrassed by this losing. He does care about winning and losing. I know he's making money, but John Mara does care. Like, if anything, he cares too much. You know, he loves this team almost a little too much, where he, you know, can be too loyal. But with everything going this way, there's going to be firings. I don't think Chris Mara is going to be fired, but I also think Chris Mara might not have as big of an impact as people make him out to, you know. Like, I just don't think Gettleman is taking too much advice from Chris Mayer or Joe Judge when they're drafting people.
We don't know. That's the crazy thing.
And that's why I don't think that he has a huge impact, is because we don't know. You know, because they never put him out. You know, like, you have Chris Pettit, you have Kevin Abrams. Like,
I don't know, Bobby. You look on the Giants, like, the media page or, like, the media book. Research Rick, you know, guided me to this, and I was just looking at, you know, the personnel, the coaches, and, You look at, you know, upper management, it is John, and this is, this could mean nothing, but it's all that we have. It is John Mara, Steve Tisch, and then boom, the third person on the third page of who is running the New York Football Giants, it is Chris Mara. You know, so I don't know. And that's the frustrating thing about, you know, why over the years, you know, maybe we weren't, you know, maybe we aren't critiquing as much. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to critique because I don't know what the process is, which is why, like we said on Sunday, like you said with that Nick Saban tweet, which is why they need to be open to bringing somebody in that will tear this organization apart, that will tear them down. Where John Mara, I agree with you, and I think a lot of people cringe. I do agree with you that John Mara wants to win, but it's just that he does not have the right frame of mind when it comes to a timeline as to how long it could take to build a proper team. Or really, maybe not even how long it should take, because you've seen NFL teams turn around in kind of short time frames, but the necessary steps that you need to take. Like, maybe you want to know what, John? Like, you know, maybe there's a season where it's perfectly okay to go into it thinking, you know what, we're going to get 3 wins this year. We're going to get 3-4 wins this year. And that's kind of okay when you have that long-term goal of, you know, next year we have more draft capital. Next year we're going to manage our free agency money right. We're not going to overspend on free agents and then put our whole hopes and dreams on those guys that come in. It's okay to go into your first season of a rebuild and say we're going to win three or four games. But if you build the draft capital necessary, that is necessary, like they did not do in 2018, then the timeline can get shifted after that point. But they never did that. They never did that. And frankly, the only year that they did it was this year in 2021.
And that's why I'm hoping that, you know, that's why I say Joe Judge should go with Gettleman, is because, like, you need that revamp. You need new. You can't hold on. Like, I don't want someone, GM, coming in and being like, you know what, we really like Joe Judge, just to get the job and repeating the same mistakes again. And honestly, whatever happens with Saquon, I really think could signal the change, you know?
Yeah.
Because they could either move on from Saquon, or they could lowball Saquon and be like, dude, you don't deserve more than like a $7 million a year deal or something like that, you know, and being like, you don't deserve it, Saquon Barkley. What have you done to do that besides be drafted high and have a really good rookie year? Since then, you've done nothing to deserve a big contract like a McCaffrey or a Cook got. So I think those things could signal where they're moving. But yeah. Now, do I have faith in that? No, but I don't view John, like I said to start, I don't view John Mara the same way I would a James Dolan, you know, like, you know, someone, we're talking basketball analogies, like, John Mara needs his Sean Marks, who comes in and kind of takes over and does things the right way. Sean Marks is the Nets GM, by the way.
Yeah. All right, I'm
happy for the season.
Where do you want to go next? Top three worst Gettleman moves, or do you want to talk about Daniel Jones in a different system?
Yeah, go back to let's stay in order and go back to that.
All right, let's go to Danny B at Bozzy 18. If Daniel Jones was in a McVay or Shanahan offense over the last 3 years, would there be any doubts about his ability as a QB? How much is a lack of talent early on in recent play calling to blame for people still having question marks over him?
So, we kind of did a little bit of this in the beginning, but sucks, especially about Andrew Thomas going down and the wide receivers being out. It's not just necessarily those guys being out. It's that Jason Garrett just goes right back to the curl stick concepts. You know, like, we ran so much stick and curl. The only difference this week was that the slot receiver was going on a clear out go route, which is not part of the progression, you know, which is why I do the 2 15 plus yard routes tweet every week, which usually I feel like paints a good picture. This was the first week where I was like, this doesn't paint a good picture, because they were using a ton of 2 clear out routes, which weren't part of the progressions, you know? And so I wanted to look for something too. And I was like, all right, let me write down every time this happens. Something I talk about a lot, Justin, is the three level high to low reads for Daniel Jones. That's where he has his most success, right?
Yes.
Quarters 1 through 3, they didn't run a single route concept like that.
Tough.
Not a single one. Not a single one. That's so frustrating, man. Like, that's why it's like when people say, oh, everything needs to be perfect. It's like, no, just honestly, I would give me a good play caller. Like, if you told me right now you could get Sean McVay or whatever really good play caller or Andrew Thomas back, I would take the play caller. I really would, man. It's frustrating. And that's why we said we're not going to react to small sample sizes with Jason Garrett, where I liked what he did versus New Orleans. And I kind of like what he did versus Dallas. But it's just like he when he can't block stuff up and he doesn't have the, you know, receiver talents, he goes back into his old, into that quick concept stuff that just does not fit DJ or really fit any, you know, QB. And it's so frustrating. That being said, Daniel Jones played bad on his own. He wasn't helped, but those two, the first and third interception were really bad Daniel Jones plays. Like you can't really blame Jason Garrett for those. Like those were bad Daniel Jones decisions.
Yeah. I would like to see Jones in like a McVay type of style offense. I don't know.
What do you need a McVay? Give me Scott Turner. Yeah. You know, from Washington. You know.
That is something, by the way. I feel like this coaching staff with Joe Judge and basically, you know, 2020, that's where I really feel like I've started to watch football in the way that I'm most comfortable in, you know, where I'm learning more and, you know, I'm still relatively young, but mainly like watching the game of football in the way that I like it and I'm comfortable with in a way that I can talk about it. I am really, really going to be evaluating from the get-go, whoever the new coach is going to be, you know, if it's still Judge. No, granted, I don't think Jason Garrett's coming back next year. Even if Judge stays, Jason Garrett, I don't think is coming back next year. Granted, and that is when I will also be fully behind the burn down MetLife stance. If
but Jason Garrett is back, that would be Garrett so frustrating back. To keep Judge and Daniel Jones and be like, all right, another play caller with the same head coach, same QB. You know,
that's I'm just saying hypothetically.
This all gets frustrating.
I'm just saying hypothetically. So if a new coach comes in, whether he's an offensive play caller himself or he's, you know, similar to Judge or CEO or he's a defensive play caller, I'm really, really going to be evaluating on what kind of offensive play call and what kind of offensive system they run. Like, I'm almost going to be evaluating that more than the type of, like, coach he is or the type of, like, guy he is. Like, I am so much on the whole, what kind of offensive system do you run? And I tweeted this out today, where, you know, you learn lessons, right? You learn lessons about the expectations that the Giants have. And, you know, we had expectations for what this defense can do. But throughout this entire offseason, I was just talking about how if this Giants offense can just solely be average, then, you know, we have a shot at doing something nice this year. I am on the boat of defense can do whatever they want. They can add whoever they want. They can do whatever they want with defense coordinator, whatever. I will not have faith in this franchise until they are scoring points at an above average rate and they are producing explosive pass plays at an above average rate. Until they start to prove that to me on a consistent basis, I will have no hope for the direction of the franchise because this is an offensive league and this is a quarterback driven league. So that's kind of like where my brain is at in terms of evaluating the future of this franchise.
Yeah, it's a mess. And that's why it's so frustrating that everything is off schedule, where Judge is here 2 years, Gettleman is here 4 years. You know, because like if we were looking at just the past 2 years with Gettleman, like Gettleman was brought in 2020, Judge was brought in 2020, we probably have a different view. But it's like, actually, no, we don't, because they haven't invested in pass rusher or offensive line at all besides Andrew Thomas.
Right.
So actually, I scratched that.
All right, next question. AZ at Anthony Zorro. What are the top three worst Gettleman moves that got us to where we are right now? I would say Nate Solder in 2018. It's crazy how all of these are basically going to be 2018 for me. Nate Solder in 2018. Number two, just being, in general, not getting anything out of the 2018 draft class, where there's not one guy that I can
Just say the Saquon pick and not doing the trade that the Colts did.
Well, no, I don't just want to say that. I want to literally look at that entire draft class and say there's not
but
a
it's
single
moves, not like a entire draft class isn't
okay.
A move.
All right, then I will say Saquon. I want it to be nice and I didn't want to be that jerk, but I will say Saquon because that is generally how I feel.
Okay, so I agree with those first two, Solder. I mean, Barkley. Not only is it the running back thing, but you could have gotten Quentin Nelson, which this offensive line feels a lot better with Quentin Nelson, and the 37th and 49th overall pick. You might have been able to get a little more because they would have had the second pick and not the third pick. It was the second pick instead of the third pick that the Jets gave up, you know? Or, sorry, that the Colts gave up. You know, and you can't say that the Giants and Jets would have traded. They traded in 2019 with Leonard. I know it was a different order, but still, that trade could have happened. So that, what is your third?
This isn't a specific move, but it's just not having any adequate edge rusher 4 years in. Like, not having a single one. That's my third, so to speak. Is that cheating, or do you want me to think of something cheating. Else?
I'm going to say DeAndre Baker pick, not necessarily because, but you traded up. You gave up the 37th overall pick, the one, you know, and then the 132nd and 142nd pick, you know, and you could have had like a guy like Terry McLaurin with pick 37, or hell, you could have even gotten Baker. You know, I'm not. It's less about the. It's less about what Baker happened with Baker, but more so it's like you traded up for what happened with Baker. Like, I'm okay with taking a chance with guys with character concerns. You couldn't have predicted that Baker would have done that. And they should have kept Baker, by the way.
Yeah. I'll say Baker, too, if the edge thing was cheating, because even Baker, who I think the Chiefs like, but he's having trouble finding playing time on a very, very bad Steve Spagnuolo Chiefs defense right now. So he's not even playing there. So.
I was hoping you'd have a different third one than me, since we could stop agreeing so damn much.
No.
What would be your fourth?
Golden Tate, maybe?
Oh, we'll definitely disagree on that one, then.
Kyle Rudolph? Kyle Rudolph is worse than Golden Tate.
And Kyle Rudolph, that money could have been spent on, like, Kevin Zeitler.
Yeah, really?
You know? Like, you could have kept Kevin Zeitler.
Or it just could have been in your back pocket because there's moves that needed to be made this season to, you know, get some sort of depth for offensive line. I just had something on the top of my head, having, you know, basically the process it took Leonard Williams to get fully extended, how that took 2 years and, you know, and it cost you the draft picks plus. So I think that's also up there too, where that's handcuffed you, and now you are overpaying for Leonard Williams, but I'm glad they're paying him, but they are overpaying for him, and it took 2 years to get that done, and they gave him a lot of money in the process of waiting for that long-term contract extension. So,
dude, I'm so hungry for a win right now. I'm hungry for a big win this week. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Bobby Skinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code JohnBoy. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with the promo code JohnBoy this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9. With it.
Speaking of burning down MetLife, if Jason Garrett is still coordinator somehow next year, KG, he asks, why is MetLife Stadium still standing? And Mark Reynolds at r_Reynolds, is there still hope that COVID will cancel the season?
We need to find a way to derail this season.
Well, I will say, by the way, I know Mark is joking when he asked that question. I still stand firmly behind. I should have saved this point. I still stand firmly behind that I would much rather be there, be at Giants games, versus just be home and not go. I would rather see it in person and losing, because, like, legitimately, that's like my favorite thing. And I have really accepted the fact that we are going to lose. And what do you think about this? Do you think that I don't want to say a fraud fan, but I'll point it like that. Do you think I'm a fraud fan for continuing to go to Giants games, even though, like, I want the organization to change and I want John Mara to do different things? Do you think, like, I should be not going to Giants games and trying to sell my tickets because I want John Mara to do things differently?
Do what makes you happy. So if you don't want to go to the game, sell the tickets. If you want to go, go.
Because I do think not going to the game is a statement, and having empty seats is a statement, but I just can't do that. Like, my soul
don't
can't do that.
You not going isn't making the difference of John Mara, you know, doing something we want and not what we want. So, you know, I know he can be reactive at times, but at the, you know, but No. If you want to go to the games, go to the games. We have a question about that towards the end. And if you don't, don't. But we do need to find a way to derail and end this season and get us to the off season now.
We got a time machine. I know somebody who is building that time machine. Tim Coffey. Tim Coffey, he asked, if Graham doesn't fix things, is his failure as defensive coordinator more of an indicator of Judge staying or going? The injuries aren't there as an excuse, at least on the defense side of the ball, and Judge doesn't seem to question Patrick Graham's motives. Also, Snacks is winless in the Talking Giants Patreon Fantasy League. Just an FYI, he is quite a loser.
I'm killing it in fantasy by the way this year. So we did the Judge stuff, but I want to just turn this into like, let's talk about Patrick Graham question. Where I can just kind of like, instead of doing a film review, I can kind of talk about what scheme stuff I like. First of all, the biggest issue for this defense is pass rush. We've said this basically every episode this year. It's hard to believe how bad this pass rush is. You know, like you can make a million funny tweets out of how bad this pass rush is. The fact that Darnay Holmes has the same amount of sacks and QB hits as Lorenzo Carter or Shane Zimenez. Like, it's unreal how bad they are on the edge. It does not make any sense. So that is the biggest issue. So some things with Patrick Graham. He's running a ton of man coverage. You know, and you live by man, you die by man. When you can't get any type of pass rush, you get killed, you know. So I'm not totally mad at Graham for that. Here's the things that do bother me about Graham. And we said this on the recap ball, but why was Peppers covering Cooper Kupp and man covers without any double team help? You know, like that's the kind of stuff that just doesn't make any sense. You know, that's where the stuff where Graham starts to lose me. But if, I mean, if you ask me, like, rank the three coordinator / you know, top coaches on the team, it's very clear that Patrick Graham, I like him more than Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, because at least Patrick Graham makes adjustments week to week. You know, he tries different things. He tries to confuse defenses or confuse offenses. I don't agree with everything, but I still do generally like Patrick Graham. But you just can't, especially against Cooper Kupp. You know, it'd be one thing if it was some random slot receiver in the NFL, but you can't do that against Cooper Kupp. That doesn't make any sense. McKinney's been very bleh, but it's like I can't be like. He's a second round pick. They gotta play him. They're just getting like Logan Ryan's not making an impact, and it's like Patrick Graham doesn't want to sit back in this soft zone, you know. And it's not because people on Twitter complained about it, but like he knows, like you can't just sit back in soft zone all day. So he's gotten more aggressive, but with being aggressive, you give up risk, and that's why this defense has given up more big plays. But like I did, like you know, I complained about the run defense a lot last week. And he didn't go back to the heavy boxes with Peppers in the box, which I want him to do. But he did make adjustments. Like, the Giants' edge just can't set an edge. So what they were doing was they were having Aziz and Raglan.
Didn't they have Raglan out there a little bit?
Well, yeah, and they were having Aziz and like, Lorenzo shoot the gaps inside and then having the linebackers, like, flow heavy outside and setting the edge that way. And, like, so they, like, did a decent job against the run, even not playing heavy boxes. I still think you get back to heavy boxes, pit Peppers in the box, and you can still man up that way, you know. And then you can have every gap accounted for. You can let your linebackers play deeper, so stuff like that. So there's things I want, but you know, but I kind of blame it on the players a little bit too, you know.
Oh, I am mostly, and you know me, this has been my big talking point this year. I have mostly been on players. At the beginning of the year, I was like, well, what's going on? You know, is it Graham? I was a little frustrated with Graham, but now, Bobby, every single week, somebody drops an interception. Every single week. And that one dropped interception, you know, if Bradbury comes out with that interception in the first half this past Sunday, you know, it most likely does not be the deciding factor in a 38-11 game, you know. If your offense isn't scoring a touchdown until garbage time in like the third and the fourth quarter, then it doesn't matter. But give yourself a shot. Give yourself a shot to change the game and to flip momentum. And that was the expectation of this defense this year, that this defense is a team full of playmakers, but they just don't make plays. And that's what really is most frustrating to me.
All right, next question.
Next question is coming from Wes
Logan Rock. Ryan, do something, please.
at Wesley Westergles.
Can I? Is it bad that I'm kind of like, you know, sorry for ruining Wes's question.
Yeah.
But you know, we joked a lot about Logan Ryan pandering and stuff, and now that he's not making plays, it just annoys me. Like, for some reason, I'm just annoyed by Logan Ryan, and it's not like a, I shouldn't be, but I'm just like, you do all that pandering, and you have it make a play.
Yeah.
But I'm also doing the same thing people are doing to Judge, and that's not fair.
Yeah, I do hear him now. Like, so you know how I say don't get frustrated by post-game quotes or press conference quotes kind of throughout the week? I will say, whenever I do hear him talk, and he is a little bit more pontious about it, being like, yeah, I've been there, done that. I've made game-saving interceptions before, and, you know, I have faith that we're going to get there next week. But it's the fact that pontious. I think the word is pompous.
Pompous, yeah, not pontious. Pompous Pilate.
Yeah, pompous pilot. The fact that he's a little arrogant about it kind of bugs me a little bit. But again, it doesn't matter. So
yeah,
who cares?
I just want him to make a play.
But does somebody have a question about like being a leader and that we don't have a Justin Tuck in the locker room? Is that a question?
Yeah, I didn't
that's
do
on
that one because I don't agree with that. I think we're bad.
I agree with it too. But here's where you can come to a little bit of a point about it. If Logan Ryan is acting like that. We're not behind closed doors. We don't know. But if Logan Ryan is like acting like that, like, yeah, you know, we've made these plays before. We can do it again. Blah, 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 blah. If he's acting like that, again, just very pompous. And that's a mentality of the locker room. That's not a good mentality. Like Tuck was, I hate to do it. Tuck was one to be like, yeah, you know, we effing suck, you know, and he would kick everybody into gear. So that is where, you know, I feel like that can be felt. So Wes Locke at Wesley Westergles, why does the Blake Martinez injury feel forgotten? It was barely discussed when he went down. Defense isn't the same without him lining everything up and being a tackling beast that covers up the issues of this defense. Is his injury the most significant loss? I would like to think that we have talked about it. Maybe everybody else hasn't talked about it, but I'm glad to see that Graham made that adjustment that Bobby was talking about, because teams were so often running outside the tackles against us. Like 30% of rushing attempts before the Rams game were going outside the tackles. And I think that's where you felt Blake Martinez has lost the most, because Reggie Ragland and Tay Crowder, they can't really lead the pack going sideline to sideline like Blake Martinez can. So, but yeah, Wes, it's been like an underrated talking point.
It's definitely hurt, you know, and it definitely hurts, but at the same time, it's like, it's one in every team deals with injuries. That's really the only injury they have on defense. And it's not responsible for them being ranked 30th in points, you know. So, like, it definitely hurts. They miss Blake. It does make a difference in the games. You know, people saying that he's not a difference maker doesn't make any sense to me. But Blake being the sole injury should not be the reason why this defense has imploded.
Yeah, and they were bad even with Blake in there too. I mean, I guess they were a little bit better of a run defense, but, you know, they were allowing the 10, 11, 12 play drives for 73, 75 yards. I don't know why I picked 73. For 75 yards and not clamping down once teams got into the red zone. That was a last year problem too. No, that was going on with Blake Martinez in the lineup. So, yeah. All right.
The run game did get significantly worse without
Blake. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Jake Barrow at do a barrel roll. What keeps you guys going, making content for this season? Obviously, you guys have 66% of the season left to go. So, A, what's your secret? And B, what are some specific goals or storylines you want to keep tabs on in preparation for 2022?
I will say being the third year of doing this is a lot of our content, like the O-line report, the film review, like, a lot of it has been throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, and then it's like, okay, this is consistent. We need to do this every week.
Well, that's what content is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but now that, like, if this was the first year, I probably would be like not doing as much. You know, there was weeks in 2019 where it's like, I'm not watching. You know, after that Eagles Monday Night Football loss, I was like, I'm not watching film this week. I was like, I'm just not doing it. Where now you can't do that because it's like, okay, you have like stuff that we tried is now consistent. Like I tried to do the third down Daniel Jones videos, like that doesn't work, don't do it. But like charting the 15 plus yard passes, that was rooted in me trying to, most of my best content is me rooting and trying to dispel bad takes, you know, like that's what the O-line report was. I was like, it's more than just the bad O-line. Like here's a reason why the run game had negative yards versus the Steelers.
I guess me with explosive plays is a, Well, I think a lot of people were talking about last year about like the importance of the run game and that you have to establish the run and time of possession is important. So, yeah, I guess that's how that came up too. So, which, yeah.
By the way, I forgot to bring that up in the Jason Garrett point. They had zero plays that went over for 20 yards this past week.
You forgot to bring that up. I forgot to bring it up.
It was only one attempt, and that was the Sterling Shepard stumbled interception with 30 seconds left in the half. That was the only time they attempted a throw over 20 yards.
Lovely.
Frustrating. So kind of that, and so peel back the curtains a little bit. I mean, I just want to dominate. Like, I want us to be the best. Like, I want to dominate. I want us to be the best Giants contest there is, and I want there not even to be a debate. So it's that, yeah. You know, personal goals. And I will say the fact that we have two draft picks and probably a fresh start in the offseason is a nice little look ahead. So it's like, at least this offseason is going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, do a good job, you know, like put a ton of effort into this. You know, like, for example, the pre-draft process, gosh, we're really giving away strategies right here. We don't have interviews. Now, we would get more downloads in the pre-draft if we did interviews, if we had people on who do draft stuff. But the reason we don't is to gain the credibility. It's like, hey, we're doing this research on our own and not just having interviews on. That way, after the draft, you guys have like, okay, like you guys are forming your own opinions. You know, you're not just kind of doing just talking draft the way people do on radio. So,
yeah.
I just want to be the best. I think that's to answer Jake's question.
No, yeah, and at least for me, I have like a vision board on my right that I haven't updated since last year, which I honestly should, but there's one bullet point I'm never going to remove, and it's enjoy the process and be patient, and I underlined process and I underlined patient, because you have to be patient with this football team. You know, with content, you have to be patient in some things that do work and some things that don't, which, you know, Bobby and I think we have a little bit of a good flow in terms of what works and what doesn't. So I really like the flow that we have, especially during the regular season. And there's still, at the end of the day, you know, and this is credit to everybody that still listens and still follows, there's still thousands of people, even if the, you know, the engagement is a little bit down because not everybody is into the football team right now. There are still like thousands of people out there that are still kind of like in it, that are in it with us, that are really diehards. And we appreciate you listening to this, because you're the reason why we do it. You know, you're the reason why we do it. Where, you know, we do want to be the best, and we want to just, I want to put in the work right now. You know, there's a company that kind of believes in us.
I love
us,
the Giants too. I can't wait till they're good. It's going to feel so good doing this when they're good.
Yeah, and I think it'll be one of those things of, oh, those guys were doing it when they were bad, and they were trying their hardest, and they were doing their best, and now it's like they're good, and they're doing it the same way. You know, they're putting in just as much effort as to when they're good as to, compared to when they're bad. So that's kind of the impetus behind all that. So that's a good question, Jake. Appreciate it.
Plus, I can't stand when people just say stuff. You know, like, that's why I couldn't, that's why I, you know, spend so much time doing research, because it's like, I want people to at least know, even if they disagree, to know where I'm coming from, is like, my opinions are rooted in a lot of research and homework.
Yeah. We're not the type of show that just says things to say things. And I think everybody kind of knows that by now.
And that's why our opinions stay, like,
consistent.
Like, that's why we don't get old takes exposed. Really, you know, or it's like, well, look what you said in 2020, and now you're saying this in 2021.
Yeah.
So how about that?
Michael Luisi at Michael Luisi 13 does some good stuff at PFF. Do you think James Bradbury has actually regressed much, or are they just playing him further off the ball so he's naturally giving up more catches and yards? I actually have numbers on this.
Go for it.
So what I'm doing for the stats report is I'm looking at some major players, and I'm looking at their 2021 on a per-game basis versus 2020 on a per-game basis. So James Bradbury in 2020, he allowed 6.68 targets per game, and this year it's 6.67. So it's kind of similar. But the completion rate is very different from 2020 to 2021. 2021, he's allowing a 72.5 completion rate. 2020, it's 61.5. This year, he's allowing 61 and a third yards per game. Last year, it was 36 and two-thirds yards per game. His air yards on completions per game last year was 24.5 yards per game. This year, it's 41.6. I mean, that's almost double. His yards after catch per game is 19 and two-thirds this year, whereas last year, it was 12.25. So a lot of those categories, like, they are substantially bigger. I mean, especially the air yards on completions, where James Bradbury last year, like, one of his things were like, yeah, you know, you can be targeted a lot and maybe you can allow completions maybe 60% of the time. But as long as you're being targeted behind the sticks and in the intermediate part of the field, I really don't care. And that was apparent last year. But this year he's allowing a little bit more yards after the catch, and the air yards per game is like 41.6. That's not great. And that's not huge regression, but it's enough regression to, you know, when you're having the expectation of being a number one corner, it's enough regression to be disappointed in.
Yeah, and you did a great job answering. I'll just put in, playing more man coverage puts him in some rougher situations too.
Is he playing off the ball on a consistent basis?
There's times where he is, but I don't think that's the cause of it.
I thought Washington he was playing off the ball, but I don't
remember Washington
that being
everyone played off the ball. I mean, that was you know, the soft zone stuff. Yeah. That was like the soft zone takes were like totally like warranted that game. But besides that, we've actually haven't played really a lot of soft zone at all.
All right. Last question. Daddy Dimes at Humund 6. I think they're Humund 6. I'm going to go with that. Coming over from London for my first Giants game, November 28th versus the Eagles. Heard Bobby Skinner will also be there. What's the plan pregame?
There's going to be a lot of people there. Ruben's coming from Spain. Entertainer's coming. You know, Mr. Brownstone's coming from North Carolina. Some of our other loyal listeners are coming up. That's going to be a... That game, that's going to be fun. Like, we are going to have fun. You know, my first favorite player of all time, Michael Strahan's getting his jersey retired. We're going to boo the crap out of John Mara. I really do hope John Mara, like, shows up on the stage because I want to boo him. You won't boo him?
No, John Mara will not show up.
Oh, I really want to boo John Mara. Like, I really am looking forward to it. That's going to be a fun weekend. You know, it's the weekend after Thanksgiving, too. So, I don't know what the plan is, but we'll obviously have some type of tailgate. It won't be like Fan Fest where we're providing a bunch of food and doing a live show before the game.
Because I would maybe... We have to talk about this, and this has to be something that has to be done, and this is going to be on me the next kind of 2 weeks. I would like to do something... Like FanFest, where it was something somewhat formal, where we are offering something again and maybe recording some. I want to see if we can do something. Because now that, you know, Brandon London's been coming by to some tailgates that I've been at, I want to see if maybe, like, I can talk to him and be like, hey, are we, like, allowed to do stuff, like, from the parking lot? Like, we don't have to make money from it. If we can just, like, record something like we did. I don't know how cold it'll be with the equipment and whatnot, but I would like to do something.
Yeah, the only thing about doing a show is, like, it gets dated quickly,
yeah,
and then it's like we're not going to be on, like, speakers for everyone to hear. Like, at FanFest, people have to kind of, like, huddle around us.
That is true. And that is, I do think the line in the sand is, like, yeah, you can record something. But then it's the second if we start broadcasting to people, I think that's the second that it becomes a problem. Which, honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. You know,
we could do the pregame show from there, but it's I think it's just better just to hang out with people.
No, I do agree. And that's why, you know, whenever I'm in the parking lot, you know, and you're begging me to go on YouTube for the live streams, it's like, well, you know, I'm interacting with people. Like, there's people that are coming up, and it's awesome, and I'm so thankful for it. And I was thinking about this the other day.
I thought it was your internet connection.
It also is my internet connection. It's also terrible, too. It took me 40 minutes to post that What Super Bowl 46 video means to me. But I was thinking about this the other day, and the show's over. That's, like, the last question, so we have time. But you know how you've always said, oh, you know, we don't really want, like, a formal relationship with the Giants, blah, 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 but... Right now, it would really benefit them to have creators that are, like, in the parking lot, interacting with people, getting, like, more camaraderie going. That would really benefit them. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I would rather just kind of... It would. But how much would it benefit them, though? Like, we're thinking about it on such a small level, and they think it, like, it's so big for us. And I also like keeping the distance between that. Like, do you think they think it's funny that I'm making jokes about burning down the stadium? Like, no, they can't stand that.
Well, that's the trick. You wouldn't be at every game.
I just don't feel like getting the... they're like, oh, you guys are, you know, shills for the organization or whatever. Like, I'd rather just keep the distance. We do what we do.
I agree.
Interviews we do are based on us making relationships on our own. There's people that in the building that do like us, but like, and plus they're never going to do it. They don't do anything for LPG. You think they're going to do anything for us?
Yeah, and working with him would definitely.
Like, they would make no, it would, there'd be no, there's no reason for them not to work with him, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't do any, like, they barely even acknowledge him. Justin. Yeah. I have followed like all the people who run their socials and camera and do their camera work and stuff. People with like 200 followers on like Twitter and stuff. And I follow them, they won't follow back. I'm not talking about the Giants account, just like the people who run it. They don't follow. It's like, man, you don't want to like make a connection. Like, I'm not saying a connection with the Giants, but it's like, I don't know. It's funny.
We got to try it on LinkedIn. Huh? That's where we got to try it on LinkedIn. That's where connections live and breathe.
I'm stunting for John Boy Media. You're stunting. Did you see that I got us.
Wait, first of all, this is not something that you were probably going to say.
David Cohn.
I had no clue. I found out when everybody else found out today. Zero clue.
Someone told me last week, but it wasn't like, let's fill you in. I was trying to talk to somebody and they're like, well, they're doing this stuff right now. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. So yeah, David Cohn is now a co-worker of ours.
Yeah.
So which means we got to mess with them the same way we should. We ask our people to go leave reviews on their new podcast saying, yes, like, Talking Giants versus the World.
Yes, very similar to Chris Rose. That's how I think that's how Chris Rose knows who we are, and that's the only reason why he knows.
Chris Rose finally followed me. What's the name of the podcast? This is a good ad. We're doing a free ad for them, by the way.
Towing
the Slab. So yeah, go leave a review on Towing the Slab and tell them how much you love Talking Giants.
Leave Talking Giants versus the World. You can do that.
Yeah. With Chris Rose, it was all Simple Man Radio, which was super funny. Which I think we should do Simple Man Radio like sooner rather than later.
Yeah, if the season gets to a point, like a Thursday, Friday, you know, type of deal. Thursday. Thursday, more or less. So yeah, I'd be down for that.
Just one day a week. Me, you, Danny Snacks.
Yeah. I think, I almost think, like, I really want to do, a show with Snacks, like a long-form show with Snacks someday. And, you know, maybe we can do, like, a Simple Man Radio two times a week where it's, like, me and you and then, like, me and him. Like, I would be down for that. Because well, you obviously it. Do more, you know, you do more film work than I do. So over the off-season, I'm going to have to... You know, I have Bleeding Blue, obviously, but I mean that's one day a week, and you know I'm gonna plan that out better this off season of not just have shows every week and mix up the content. I'm excited for Bleeding Blue. I have some cool ideas that I haven't talked to you about, but I've talked to Snacks about. So I got to start writing out the calendar for that soon.
What are they?
I don't want to say. I want to keep it kind of. I want to keep it as a surprise.
All right. Well, let's keep this episode less than an hour or two.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Oh, we're getting close. Yeah, let's wrap
it
up.
We appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Friday with a preview. We love you. Until then, let's go Big Blue.